بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If we were to apply human intelligence to find solutions, then our arguments and debates will never end. Recently, I was an educationist. So, of course, he's in the field, whether at the higher level, lower level. He says that the discussion was about using a refuse bin, not to litter, and to use the refuse bin. The response came from the learners. No, we must litter the place. All around, wrappers, papers, trash, just throw it around. And they gave the reason that the more we will litter the place, the more jobs we will create. So many more people will find jobs. And if we don't litter the place, then so many people will lose the jobs. So the more logical thing is to litter than to throw it into the refuse. So if you only to apply human logic and reasoning, then it can mislead you. Allah has created different faculties within us, and the faculties have to be used to their limits, not beyond the limits. If you want life to go smoothly and with joy and happiness, then we use the faculties, but use the faculties to their limits. See, this three faculties that Allah has created. One is the emotions. We say jazbat, right? Josh, jazbat. So that's the one faculty that Allah has created. And it must be used. Emotions we do express. It's a happy occasion, we express happiness, and it is for you to express the happiness. Someone got a child, so you go and join him in his happiness. You'll give a present, you will make dua for him, you'll compliment him, congratulate him. So somehow you make the person happy, you pick him up, right? Now this congratulations also must be done in the right way, not in the wrong way. Now, lifestyle is concerned. The people look for every way to put you down. One person had the first grandchild. So someone had to come and congratulate him. He says, congratulations on becoming a grandfather. Since from today onwards, you'll have to sleep with a granny. See? So now this is the wrong way, it's not the right way. Making the person feel old, becoming disinterested in his wife, all that. See? So there is that element in this world that likes to see humanity suffering, like to see you in misery, in pain, in suffering. They like to see it. When they see that, they rejoice. If they see you prospering then they can't see the happiness. But they see you in difficulty and they rejoice. إِن تُسِبْكَ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ وَإِن تُسِبْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ يَفْرَحُوا بِهَا. If any calamity befalls them, they rejoice. And if any happiness comes to you, then it hurts them. So you get this. You get this class of people. And unfortunately, now you're getting more of that. See, before, they used to have some movie showing this type of things. See? And now people went one step ahead. First a movie, then a play, right? And then let's make it real. Make it real, you know. Let's hurt someone, and after we've hurt him, then let's be rejoiced. So you get this third class as well. So you get one is a herbivorous animal, right? Sheep, goat, etc. It will not hurt you unless you hurt it, right? Cow, if you hurt it, it will hurt you. Otherwise, it doesn't hurt you. Then you get a carnivorous. It will hurt you if it is in need. Lion, if it's satiated, it won't do anything. Full stomach, don't do anything. But if it is hungry, at the point of need, it will do something. Desperation, right? So that's a lion. Then you get a third one, a thing like a snake, right? Scorpion or a snake. That thing, whether you hurt it or you don't hurt it, it must hurt you. Mosquito, bug, scorpion, right? It must hurt. That's life, to hurt, to cause misery, to cause pain. So this is how people are escalating and causing pain, difficulty, problems. One person became very wealthy, extremely wealthy. So now his buddies and contemporaries are saying, "Oh man, you're not right. He's gone too big now. Let's cut him to size. Let's bring him back." So how to do it? He's playing in the millions now, you know. So, how to cut him to size? So they're thinking, they're planning. Then they heard that he's got only one child, one daughter, and she is to be married now soon. Proposals came. The date of the marriage is all confirmed. So, 1 month before the marriage, they say, "See, you could just want one daughter. And you'd rather do it very well. And if you don't do it very well, people will say that this thing was on your way, so you have to just push her out of your way. That's why you didn't do anything about it. Right? Just took about ishtima, made the nikah, finished, khalas, with wada. So there was no celebration, was an occasion. She would think for the rest of her life, you know, my parents didn't do anything for me. And people also will insult you, they'll disgrace you. So you have to do it. You know, just one child, do it and go. It must be such that it's the talk of the town. You know, she's landing in a parachute, and Rolls Royce is coming and is dropping her. And, you know, and then they're going to Dubai. The whole occasion is going to be in Dubai. One of the big halls there on that Palm Island, you know. And how the guests are going to be received. Make it really, really lavish. So now this thing appealed to him. So he had lost about 20 million then on the nikah. Put himself into serious debts, he had some money, 10, 12 he had, but 8, 9 he had to take from the bank, right? So he went and put himself, he sold some of his properties, do something from the bank. And he did this for 20, 30 million then. Now, when he bought this, when he took this for this facility and sold his investments and all that, now he has to service those loans. He has to service those loans. Now his life standards has all gone down. Before he was eating, enjoying so well, his family was so well, his parents were enjoying, everything was going pretty well. Now when he went for this, everything had collapsed. He had to discard his parents, the comforts and luxuries that he was in, that had to go. When he came to this point, so his friends now began to rejoice. See, now humne isko tikana laga diya. He put him in place now. See, he's come from that to this level. That's why our buzwan has said, aaj to dosti ka zamana nahi hai. Dosti ka zamana chala gaya. He was in prosperity, going so well, and they injected him with this type of a thought. He bought the thing, and all the joy, the happiness that he was going through, everything just collapsing. See that? In the old days, the teacher, you know, school teacher, used to call him a Miyaji. So there was very little literacy. So there was anything to be written or to be read, they'll go to the Miyaji, or they'll call the Miyaji and ask him to read that correspondence, write, etc. He will do it. So the Miyaji came to the house. They asked him to read the letter. Wife asked him to read the letter. Right. The husband is going abroad to do some job there. He's earning big money. He's doing a big job, and he's sending the money through. So he read the letter and he's crying. And then his crying became audible. When his crying became audible, so they asked, what's happened? Koi mar gaya? Kya hua? He said, tum bhi roho, telling the wife and the children, you also must cry. So the wife and the children also crying. Now, a woman cried, and they cry a little bit loud, you see. Children are crying, so they're crying even louder. So when there was so much of crying, then the neighborhood came out. So what happened? It almost cried. So all are crying, a house of mourning. But they're all crying so loudly. So now, so Mary, batao to sahi, kya hua kya? What happened here? And the oars are raw. They're crying. Up to batao, now show what happened. Now you see, your husband has gone to Dubai for work, right? You are here. And you know what he's earning? He's earning 50,000, right? अरे पगले कही के ये कोई रोने की बात है तो खुशी की बात है. Not feeling right. He's earning 50,000. Yeah, he's earning 1,000 and he's earning 50,000. So is it an occasion to be rejoicing or to be grieving? What's your problem? So he says, no. See, understand it now. See, we are living here. The normal salary, somebody getting 500 rand a month, and somebody getting 1,000 rand. That's we getting at living in a jundo. That's what we're doing. I'm earning 500, you're earning 100, 200, whatever. And this man is earning 50,000. So now, when he's going to come back, so what's going to happen? So he's earning 50,000. So then, see all the small jundals here, all these informal settlements. He'll buy all that out. One here, one here, one here. All that he'll buy it out. So you, all of you all will be homeless. Because he just has to go to the Nawab. Nawab is the head of the, like how you get the Induna. Go there and tell him something and buy all these people out. So all of you will become homeless. One, number one. And left without home. See. Then, number two, you see, till now, he was walking to job, coming and going through. Now he's going to have an expensive motor car. So for that motor car, you need to have a garage, right? So you take away even more space. See, for that car, for it to be serviced and coming in and going out, you have to take more space. Right? Then, at the third level, because you're asking, but right, why do you ask the wife and the children to cry? Right? The neighborhood, they cried. Then it's understandable that they cry for whatever they cried. But why must the wife and the children cry? So he says, even this you can't understand. See now, when he's going to be earning so much, 50, 100, 200,000 a month, you know, 200, imagine 200, 300,000 he's earning. You think that this simple village woman will be enough for him? Then he looks for something white, green eyes, all that. So you'll be out of the system. He's going to take someone like that. Right? So you will be separated. He won't want you. He won't want these children. Now, these children are not looking very good. So he wants something white, blue eyes, blonde, all that. That's what he wants. So, arey, wah, tumne bahut tikane ki baat batai. Showed it. But now, you see this, someone's prosperity, but you're getting the next person burning for that, hurting for that. He's hurting for his prosperity. But this is an inborn thing. You mustn't think, oh, it's only happening here in Calcutta or something. No, no. It's happening everywhere. About 2-3 years ago, my one friend is got a hardware, you see. So there was a black woman, very noble, respectable. She was his client. Very respecting her payments, living modestly, very, very respectable. After about 3 years, she suddenly just died. Now there was an inquiry, what happened? Uska kya hua? What happened? So she was planning to put up a home. And her home was complete. So she called friends and neighbors to enjoy the feast. Right? Well, when they saw what she's got, so under some pretext, they gave her a present, poisoned the thing. She went and ate the thing, and at the same moment that you are so toxic, she died. So you get this category, you get this class. Whether in India, whether here, wherever, but you get this thing here. That they can't see the next person prospering. So that's why our elders say, dosti ka zamana nahi hai. It is not a time for friendship. The time is gone. There was a time where there were genuine friends, right, that will look for you, for your prosperity, for your well-being, for your deen, for your dunya, for the upliftment of your children, etc. They will look for it. Mawla Musa Mehtar, the Nazim in the madrasa for so many years, right? Allah Pak restore his health. He is telling me that he went to study in his infancy, maybe 10 years, 11 years of age. And now his child, 10, 11, 12 years of age, he doesn't have the fun like he had the fun when he was at home. Running around, boys running on the streets, all that. And madrasa is very much a controlled environment. Can't keep a phone, can't do this, can't do that. So now that was too much for him. So he didn't want to go back to madrasa. So that father tried to persuade him, but he won't listen. Anyway, one family Hindu friend, he explained, when I was about 10, 12 years of age, he said, no, see, you won't learn. See, because Now at his age, he's explaining the child. See, if you want money, there is no security for that money to continue. It can be stolen, your health can deteriorate, something can happen, and all that wealth can go. See. But if you study, right, this thing, nobody can steal from you. No robber, no gunman, nobody can hijack your knowledge. Go and study, continue your study. Now he explained to his age, to his level, and that thing appealed to him. Today, alhamdulillah, the Mulana, Qadi Sahib, Mulana, everything, he became, right? But you see that. So, you used to get friends, but it was one zamana. And now, that thing is becoming extinct. I can't see the next person prospering. I can't see him flourishing. I can't see him going up. So, he must go up, but not above me. He must go up, but he mustn't go up above me. One person outwardly seems to be pious, right? Outwardly, namaz and. But you see, the thinking is flawed. So he tells me one day, see, we're so wealthy, we are multi-millionaires. Told me about 30 years ago. At that time, multi-millionaires actually billionaire, like, you know. That time, he was worth about 400, 500 million. 30 years ago. So that now, if it was then, so now everything is just escalating. You can imagine. So he says to me, do you know how I prospered? How we prospered? As a family? You know? See, we prospered like this. My father, there was an auction, right? So his friend came to ask him, he wants to bid for this property here, and what is your suggestion? See, you know, you bid for something, so you go and ask someone that knows more about finance, investments. You don't do it, single-handed. My father told him, no, you don't go for the thing. It's not a good choice. All right, he left it. But my father went quietly, and he bought that thing. And that thing was like a gold mine. Just escalating. You know, you get this Durban Maritzburg corridor. Things that were bought at 10,000, but they're going for 10 million. Like that. It was just rocketing. And we made a fortune out of it. Right? So that's how we prospered. Now, he deceived the person, cheated him, and is the second generation, and he's rejoicing. See, he's the second generation, and they're still rejoicing. See, that is why you see Allah Pak is rebuking the Bani Israel of that day, whereas the crimes were committed in the past. And Allah Pak is rebuking the present day Bani Israel. Right? So now the question comes is that these crimes were committed in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Between Musa alayhi salam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is over 2-3 thousand years. Right? Between Musa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is over 2-3 thousand years. Why does the Quran Sharif rebuke the present day Bani Israel, whereas these crimes and atrocities were committed by the people of the past? وَإِسْقُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّىٰ نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. You must show us, Allah Ta'ala, you must show us, then only will we believe. وَإِسْقَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَالدَّارَأَتُمْ فِيهَا. Right? وَإِسْقُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّىٰ نَرَى اللَّهَ. لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. You see, all these wrongs were not now, were committed in the past, but Allah Pak is addressing them. So the reason that the Mufassirin give is that these atrocities and crimes were committed by the people of the past, but these people are quite comfortable, they're quite happy and comfortable with the wrongs of their ancestry. They feel good about it. Hey, you know, my father, he did this, and he did this. See, it was the father that committed the wrong, but the son is rejoicing for the father's wrong. So as though we're in cahoots. You know, hadith says, the wrong takes place in a certain part of the world, right? And you aren't there, but you like to be there. You're happy, you like to be there. Right? Kana kaman shahida. It's like the person that is there. Because you're not there, but you're rejoicing, you're happy about the whole thing. You're not showing any type of disapproval, no type of resentment. Then you are the person that is there. So it's done by your parents, by your ancestries, and you are rejoicing today, and you both are identical, both are the same. So I say that Islam has made a provision for emotions, sentiments, emotions, right? Islam didn't ask you to disregard your emotions. Someone died, so it's a very sorrowful occasion. So to tear, to be grieved at that time, Islam allowed you. So he didn't say, don't cry at all, you must be smiling all the time, or he didn't tell you that. To express that sorrow, to tear at that time, Allah Pak has allowed you, but Nabi Sam has allowed you. Right? Alright, not to the extent of shouting and lamenting loudly and all that, not to the point of noha. But within reason, someone cries, so Islam has allowed that. Shed some tears, express your sorrow, you grieved at the person's separation. So there's nothing wrong in that. So this is the one faculty Allah Pak has created in all human beings, faculty of emotions. And emotions are expressed, and Islam doesn't speak out against it. But Anas radiallahu anhu's one brother had a bird, right? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the brother and his little bird in a state of distress that his bird had died perhaps. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also comforted him. Ya Aba Umayr ma fa'ala nughayr. So a little bit of distress also to bring the person up. See, in that distress, you don't make him feel even more distressed, you bring him up. So you sympathize with him, but in a way that you bring him up again a little bit. See? So this also has to be learned, that you're sympathizing with the person, but you're sympathizing with him in a way that it will bring him up, not push him down even further. Now, when we go and sympathize with someone, so we need to keep these things in mind. Otherwise, what happens now, it's someone that is lost some near and dear one, right? So when he's lost the near and dear one, so you come in, he says, well, what happened? How he died all night? So now he'll be grieved again. Now, you don't realize that if 100 people are going to come and offer condolence and going to ask this type of stories, you'll have to cry 100 times. You will do your crying and go away at class. But now, he'll have to cry 100 times. So, some people will talk, right? His elders, etc., whatever. So, he may feel that, no, they also feel the pain. It's alright. But everybody to talk in that way, that's not right. They can't be abusing themselves, they can't laugh, and they can't disregard this, but how they're going to conduct themselves to make him feel easy and nice, that's what they need to think and understand and learn. Okay? One person lost his small little child, 2-3 years old age, so the townspeople came up and they said, Allah Pak tujhe ni'mal badal naseeb farmaya. Allah Pak give you a very good replacement. So one youngster that was there, or he heard that someone dies, so this is what you must say, Allah Ta'ala tujhe ni'mal badal naseeb kar le. Allah will grant you a better replacement. Alright. About 5 months later, an old man, 90 years old, died with a wife, 89 years of age. Right? So he learnt it now. Okay, when someone dies, this is what he must say. Allah will give you a better replacement. So now, old lady is there, 89 years of age, all the children, 70, 60, 75, all around her, right? Tragedy. So they are around. So this youngster comes in, auntie, don't worry, Allah pak tujhe ni'mal badal naseeb kare. So the son had to kick that person out. You don't know where to place things. That ni'mal badal is a good thing, but put it in the right place, it will look right. You displace the thing, then that good thing also doesn't look nice. And if it's out of place, then the thing is good, that also doesn't look nice. So we're talking about emotions, and Islam has made a provision for that. But do it rightly, correctly, rightly. And I say it often nowadays, that see, every person must feel himself to be responsible. Every person, individual, must think, I'm responsible. For the people first, immediately around me, my neighborhood, my neighbors, I must feel myself, zimma, that I'm responsible. Then what responsibility, what does it require? How must I do it? I was explaining more that, see, really we don't need our children to go too much to school, right? After they've learned reading and writing, then after that, a lot of things is just a formality. You know, so that you can one day say, you know, I have been to matric, you know, and I went, I'm postgraduate, and I went to university, don't play around with me, you know, I know things. So that's the most you can get. But the same things can be achieved through a little bit of restructuring. You just rearrange and you can get these things again. A lot of ustad are writing books now. It becomes like, you know, they become quite popular, their books. But if you ask them, then they'll ask, they'll tell you they went to grade 5, grade 4, and school teachers, doctors are reading their books. One doctor will read 10 times, 12 times, but they can't just go get over it. But you will ask them the education, they went to school at about grade 4, grade 5. Right. So now, you need to plan, alright, what should I put into this child here that he can continue with life? So again, one simple thing that you can think of is growing children, gradually teach them Siraji. Siraji, you know that properly. You all your maths, you know. You know subtraction, division, multiplication, right? All that you know. Some formulas. What formulas also in it? Munasafa, they got some formulas also. So all that you will learn. What you learn in maths, you will learn in Siraji. But the secret to education is that you teach the learner, you teach him gradually in stages. You build the argument from 1 to 2 to 3, you take him in stages. See, like for example, you show him, just an example, right? You show him what is half. So you got an orange and you sliced it into two, you cut it into two. See, what is this? Half. So before it was 1, now you took half, he took half. So you see, this is half, 1/2. Right? You show him how it works. Then the same thing, you divide it into 4. I say this is quarter. Now because in Siraji, and you talk about the ansiba, the shares, you know. So the shares will work like this generally in Siraji. It is from half to a quarter to an eighth, right? In the Quran says, وَلَهُمْ لَسْتُمُنْ, right? So from half, quarter and 1/8. So the same orange, you will cut it and bring it to 1/8. And then the other sequence in Siraji is that they will show you what is 1/6, right, and 1/3. 1/6 and 1/3. Now, when a fruit or something will show, this is 1/6, this is 1/3, this is 2/3, right. وَلَهُمَا الثُّلُثَانِ مِمَّا تَرَكْ. So 1/3, 2/3 and 1/6. Then you show him a little of fractions, but don't rush that thing. Slowly, until the child digests it nicely. So if the parent or the guardian, if they take the time and try and make the child understand, he can get these concepts. He can learn it. No, so, oh, it's too much, brain racking and all that. So it becomes too much. But otherwise, you can teach these things, especially when it's a girl, and try and do these things in the house. Not in a private school, not in a public school, not a home school that is meant for everybody. No. For a girl, after 9, 10, just take out. Rather do it at home. Because her entire portfolio is different. From a boy's portfolio to a girl's portfolio, two portfolios are totally different. You know, my mother and I went for Hajj in 65. Parents both went for Hajj in 65. So, one of the stories they gave me said that there was a woman doctor that accompanied them. Right? Very wealthy, very, very wealthy. But this woman doctor is complaining to my mother, please, for God's sake, don't educate your daughters. So she asked why, well, why not? She said, you know what? I can't even fry an egg. I can't stitch a garment. I can't prepare a meal. I can't do anything for my husband, for my children. I feel so helpless, so dejected. I got the education, everything, but the basic things to make the children happy, comfortable, the husband satisfied, I can't do this thing yet. Then my role as a woman has been all wasted. I haven't fulfilled my role as a woman. You know, a woman is a woman. She'll have feminine things. A man who's masculine, he'll have masculine things, right? He'll be happy with things that are masculine, and she'll be happy with things that are feminine. She can't do these things that a woman normally does, and how dejected she feels, how depressed she feels. I don't feel nice at all. So teach her these things that relate to her life, and teach him those things that relate to his life. So he's fulfilling his role, he's fulfilling his role. Now, we have to make everybody same, identical. Gender equality. How is it going to work? Can't work. You're going to make them equal. You can't. Something unnatural. How are you going to do it? Allah Pak made it that she must give birth to children. How are you going to do it? You're going to put a uterus, put a... How does it happen? Can't. So, Allah Pak has created the woman for a different role, man for a different role, except that this is the law of Allah Ta'ala, right? And move accordingly. But now you want to either reverse the role or make them both identical, right? But then in that identical also, making them the same, then too you are selective. Because at a public toilet or urinal, you don't say now everybody is equal there. You saw each of urinal, men and women all going urinal. No, you stand and make peace up. So you were there for women and women, men and women all one place. Ever saw it anywhere in the world? Hey, they can't. You can't have that thing. It can't work out. Peace up is there. You saw anywhere in the world. Urinal, all gender equality, all must use the same thing. It can't work. When it can't work, say it can't work. That happens in the toilets, even in sports. You see a football, And you got some members of the team from Jameel Abad playing there. You see that? Can't happen. So why go for the stupid things? All nonsensical things. See now, nobody is stopping you from education. But that education was not supposed to be designing, redesigning your culture, your thinking, your habits, your ways. This is a very, very great disservice they have done, that they have used education to corrupt your culture, to reshape your thinking, to replan your whole life. See, so they must only teach you, alright, how much make money. That's all. That's what. But aren't they doing that? Aren't they shaping your, reshaping your culture? This is the culture, music, art, etc. All. I ask anybody here that in this English education that you go through, right? So, from grade 1 to say grade 8 or 9, won't there be some type of a love story in that? And won't there be a story in your syllabus where the girl and the boy that were in love and they eloped somehow, and how they eloped and all that? So now, the question is, why did they teach you that story, how they eloped, why? Is there some noble intention behind it, very noble, very pious intentions, that they showed you a story, how these youngsters, they got together, they liked each other, and then there was some problem, so they eloped. So, is this, in the intention, are they noble? Now you can see the filth in that, the dirt in that. But yet we consider this education to be noble, thing of virtue, thing of recognition. Can't we see within that? Now, where does this type of things, this type of behavior, you know, a girl ever eloping, say, 50 years ago, it was unheard of. You never heard of a girl eloping. I know all my childhood, you'll never hear of a girl eloping. You never hear of that. You know? But then, why these things come so common now? See the type of education. You get children going to school, right? Girls, boys, private, non-private, Islamic, non-Islamic, right? But sometimes you're getting reports coming from private schools and public schools, that this is a, say, grade 10 class, right? But every person in the class, boy and girl, has gone through an experience. Everyone has gone through an experience. Because if you didn't experience this, you didn't experience that intimacy, then you consider someone backwards. So just to be considered, you know, that you are also on the same page. So you go for that type of an experience, and then you can share it with your buddies that I also... So is it now the culture, the values, what we have inherited? Well, now they're introducing this to you. We're seeing that it's happening. And, you know, for their financial security, if their deen or their modesty, morality, or respect has been dented, but it's all right. See, now look at the bigger picture, how much money they're going to get if they are qualified. A little bit of immodesty now, you just have to endure that. Look at the bigger picture, that's how they're going to talk. So we're not using our brain. Can't we look for a thing, all right, teach the person, boy, girl, whatever the boy needs, whatever the girl needs. But in an environment that his behavior, his ways, his mannerisms, everything improve by the day, everything improve. His consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Now, one, sometimes they take it on that end, for education, and sometimes people feel that getting the twang right, that is education. So they will send the child to a white school. You see the discipline, see how they talk and all that, you know. So your daughter is going there, and your son is going there. How much? 80,000, 70,000 fees. So what the child learn? The child learn, pork is alright. Don't make a big noise about that thing. Don't make a big noise. And what else she's learned? Or they learn, you can talk freely with boys, girls, and all. You can talk all. Nothing wrong with that. A free mixing culture has crept into the child. What does he learn? So you see what respect they show, you know. So what additional respect did you come across in them? Say, well, when it's meals time, right, before the meals, then what is that Christian prayer? You know, they do something like a Christian prayer before the meals only. Like, I don't know, grace, yeah. Kitni ajeeb baat hai ke disgrace ko grace bana diya. Isn't it a disgrace for a Muslim? It's a big grace and all that. So now that's education. He's paying 70 dong for that, the child to burn in Jahannam, becoming a kafir. So you're paying 70,000 for the child to mix up with a white girl or something and do haram. You're paying 70,000-80,000 every month. Akal mein aane ki baat hai. Is it right? Or is it a disgrace? So when Allah Pak wishes to throw someone on the path, this is what happens. See, it's going. Allah Pak says, this person is not right. Let me throw him. So when he throws him off the path, the right thing seems to be wrong, and the wrong thing seems to be right. And he'll argue for that. He will live for that. He will argue for that. He will fight for that. See if, our culture is, we are warm, right? Warm. Our buddies, friends, Muslims get together, feel so happy, right? That's our culture. He comes home, even if it's a special that is prepared, we offer it to him. Now, from this education, it escalated, we went to living estates, right? Now that estate now is a different type of living. When we went to that living, one friend of mine was here, so he's telling me they went for Gush. So they went to one Muslim house. The Muslim house said, you know, your cousin is living that side. This is the number. So they went there to call for him. So as they went there to call cousin came out, he saw them, and he closed the door again. And in about 2 minutes, the security was there to escort the Jamaat out. Why did you come here without making an appointment? See, that was the crime. That becomes a crime. See, now you're thinking, it goes in reverse. So wrong seems to be right, and wrong and right seems to be wrong. Everything that is filthy, wrong, putrid, disgraceful, everything that seems to be right, and things that were your original culture, ways, behavior, all that, all, see, your whole thinking was off. Like the Quran Sharif says, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَا. Except, see, all people are coming to Islam, see the nobility, see the compassion, love, right, the fair play, all, look at that. Like these people are accepting, why don't you come? See, we must be like fools. We must be living like fools. You can't live like that. So Allah Pak says, Allah innahum humus sufa, they are the fools. So what it means? That Allah Ta'ala capsized the whole intelligence. When He capsized the intelligence, then the wrong seems to be right. Before, they were using water to wash, right? To wash. Now, when Allah Pak capsized, reversed the intelligence, now they use toilet paper, and they feel comfortable. I'm talking of facts, not hearsay. What they're doing, it. Because the white does it, he doesn't wash, and the whole backside is plastered. So now, progress means that we must do the same thing what they are doing. See now, how the Allah Pak says, Allah innahum humus sufaha, they are mad. They're calling this people mad, but they are mad. So, it's a time now that we thought on what we're doing. Ramadan, we can't be taking our children to Jahannam, can't be leading them on that side. So it's for the Tabligh Jamaat also to think how to get these people here. And going into that wrong lane. It's all fine to the wrong lane. How to win them back? Come back. Whatever you are now, come back. Come. Allah Ta'ala.